Good morning again, colleagues, and our colleagues on the other side, the observers. Yes, we do consider you as colleagues in this important discussion. And at this time, no further ado, I'll go ahead and declare open the sixth meeting of the Executive Committee of the Warsaw International Mechanism for Loss and Damage. All right, so now that we've gotten the business on the roll, I'd want to welcome the members formally and the observers to this meeting and remind everyone that this is the last meeting of the ExCom before COP23. Well, I'm sure based on the time that is there, there's no way on earth we could fit another one in. So it's definitely the last one before COP23. So therefore, it's important that the ExCom finalize any recommendations that need to be included in its annual report in the next 3 days. I'm sure most of you would have been aware that we have been working on this report for some time. We do have a part of it completed, but we need to complete the remainder of the report based on the outcomes of this meeting. We also need to decide on ExCom's engagements, including speaking roles for events and meetings as we see them taking place during COP23. So that is something that the ExCom will need to be aware of as we proceed. At this time, I'd also want to, because I'm sure many of you around the room have recognized that at least my other half, so to speak, my co-chair that you're aware of is not sitting beside me. So I'd want to note that Monica, my co-chair at the last meeting, has formally stepped down from her role as the co-chair on the ExCom. And at this point, a successor has been appointed, and I would like to propose that Mr. Thomas Delanoy step forward to serve as my co-chair. Are there any objections? So thank you for the support, and I invite Thomas to come and take up the chair as my co-chair. Thank you, Thomas. Okay, further, I'd like to inform that we also have a few absentees. In addition to Monica, Pepe and Takea have sent their regrets for not being able to join the meeting at this time. And in that sense, we will do our best to ensure that the decisions that we take here are in line with the considerations of our fellow colleagues who are not in attendance today. Also, you'll recognize that Gottfried is not sitting at the table at the moment. He's not fully in absence, but unfortunately, he had an engagement that he had to take up today, so he will join us tomorrow. So now you have a very good idea as to where we are in terms of membership and participation at ExCom 6. Since the last meeting, the following changes in the membership have taken place. So I'm sure you recognize that I'm now talking about all the changes that we have been experiencing. It's not necessarily been an easy role for us. Shireen has stepped down from the ExCom, and we now have Miss Meredith Ryder-Rood from the USA who is now taking her seat. So at this point, I'd want to welcome Meredith and invite her to give a brief introduction.
Good morning, colleagues. It's very good to be here. I do have the honor of taking up Shireen's place on this very sort of historic and very technically astute body, the ExCom. This is my first meeting. I'm looking forward to learning from all of you guys. We've already spent a couple days together, so it's been a couple very fruitful, intense days. And looking forward to this first meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Meredith, and welcome to the family. I'm happy to hear the words you use to describe us, because that tells me how, in what form you see us, and hopefully with your addition we can, as members have pointed out in the past, become catalytic, and you will play your part in that role. I want to recall that the meetings of the XCOM are open to observers in accordance with Decision 2CP20. The XCOM may wish to invite observers at any point during the meeting to provide inputs where it sees helpful. Note that we have a full house of observers present at the meeting. I believe all efforts have been made to facilitate full participation of observers. So we are happy to have been able to accommodate all requests and participations in this end. At this point, I'm going to invite our observers to inform the XCOM of who they are, especially bearing in mind that we have had some changes on the XCOM itself. So if you could identify yourselves by name and the organization which you represent. And I'm asking you to be as brief as possible, 30 seconds, no more. And I will start at my, on the first row, at my my left.
Hello, everyone. I'm Donna from the Red Cross Red Crescent Climate Center, representing the International Federation of Red Cross Red Crescent Societies.
Thank you very much. Sven Hameling, CARE International, and also representing Climate Action Network International.
Hello, this is Mariam Traoré Chazal-Noël. I'm with the International Organization for Migration in New York.
Hello, everyone. My name is Jin Liu. I come from Yango, from China Youth Climate Action Network.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Olivia Srdečne. I work for Climate Analytics, and I'm here with the St. Lucia delegation.
Good morning. My name is Linda Siegel, and I, too, am here with the St. Lucia delegation.
Hi, I'm Doreen Stabinski, and I'm with the College of the Atlantic in the U.S.
Thank you. Morning. My name's Julianne Richards. I'm here for Climate Justice Program, and I'm on the gender constituency slot, and I'm also working with the CAN team.
My name's Stephen Leonard. I'm with the Centre for International Forestry Research, or CFOR.
Good morning, everybody. I'm come from Turkey. My name is Kader Tuan. I'm working in Ministry of Environment and Urbanization.
Good morning. My name is Tove Stubb, and I'm from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Norway.
Good morning. It's Julian. I'm from GIZ Germany.
Morning. Alina Bill-Weiland. I'm here for Bread for the World.
Good morning. My name is Laura Schäfer. I'm working for the Munich Climate Insurance Initiative hosted by United Nations University.
Good morning. My name is Vera Künzel. I'm working with German Watch.
Good morning. My name is Georgia, and I work on climate policy adaptation and disaster risk reduction for the World Food Program.
Good morning. I'm Marilyn Averill from the University of Colorado at Boulder in the United States, and I'm here on behalf of the research and independent NGOs, the Ringos.
Good morning. My name is Harjeet. I work with Action Aid International, and I'm also representing Climate Action Network. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Funi from South Africa, Department of Environmental Affairs.
Good morning. My name is Stacey Kimmig, and I'm from FAUCO. It's an organization of American women's clubs overseas, and I'm also here for the gender constituency.
Hey, good morning. I'm Leon Charles. I'm from Grenada.
Good morning, Julio Serge from the United Nations Office for Disaster Risk Reduction, UNISDR. I'm the lead of the Sendai Framework Monitoring Unit.
Good morning, David Stevens, also from UNISDR, the Disaster Risk Reduction, and I'm the focal point for climate change within the organization.
Thank you very much to our observers for their continuous support and engagement in the proceedings of the XCOM. We do value the input that you provide, and their support going forward. I want to inform the plenary proceedings are audio recorded, and the recordings will be made available online at a later stage in order to ensure transparency of our deliberations here as per protocol. So at this point, we will move on to item 2 of the provisional agenda, namely organizational matters. And I will hand over to my co-chair, Thomas, to pick up item 2A.
Yes, good morning. I first would like to thank all of you for your support, and I really look forward to work with all members, all observers, and the secretariat during this meeting. So I propose that we turn into document XCOM 2017-6-1, which contains the provisional agenda and annotations. This document was shared with the XCOM before the meeting, and it has also been made available online for the benefit of observers. I would like to remind you that for item 10, any other matters, we'll take the issues related to the IPCC engagements as agreed during the intersessional work. I would like now to invite all members to indicate if you would like to raise any issues under item 10, any other item. So it doesn't seem there are any additional issues. I therefore propose to adopt the agenda as contained in the document. So we will move now to item B, organization of the work of the meeting. I would like to remind you that an indicative schedule of the work is available on the meeting webpage, and you got it also on your table this morning. We will adjust this schedule as the meeting progresses, and we will also make the schedule available online. The meeting webpage, as shown on the screen, contains all the documentation that has been prepared for this meeting. And as per our practice, all details of the members' intersessional work have been recorded in the tracking table of progress. This table is also available in the XCOM collaboration space. With my co-chair, we intend to manage the time. We will try as much as we can to avoid to prolong the official work hours. We'll try to work as efficiently as possible, keeping in mind that we also need to achieve results during this meeting. The room will be also available for informal work by members every morning from 8 to 9, and also in the evenings if needed. As concerns the modality of work, so, I turn to my co-chair.
Thank you, Thomas. With regard to the modality of work, in order to best address the workload during this meeting, we plan to launch most of the items this morning. Our aim is to conclude in plenary setting today those items on which our immediate next steps are relatively clear. If some items require substantive further work, we will consider allocating slots for the parallel working group, as we have done in previous sessions. Members are also encouraged to engage in informal discussions over coffee and in the corridors as necessary, as per previous protocol. Each agenda item will be opened with a short introduction, either by myself or Thomas, or the respective coordinators of the intersessional working groups. As you know, there are a number of items that we have carried through intersessionally, and we have a group of champions that have been spearheading those initiatives. So we're practical. We will ask those individuals to report. And in so doing, we will provide an overview of the process undertaken since XCOM 5 and propose possible ways forward for the consideration of the full group. Therefore, those members who either led or co-led the intersessional work are requested to be prepared to share your views on how the XCOM could finalize the work here or continue intersessionally as appropriate. So I'm asking my fellow colleagues who are championing various issues to be prepared to report. At the end of conclusion of each item, we will summarize the way forward arising from the discussions. And as according to our standard practice, we will present all decision points at the end of the meeting to be agreed. Thomas?
Yes, thank you. Let me now walk you through the initial plan for taking up items as indicated in the schedule of work. So today we plan to open the following agenda items in this order. We'll start with item 6 on awareness raising, outreach, and information sharing. The item includes the following sub-items. We'll discuss the preparation of the COP23 side event. We'll discuss COP23 formal engagement, and also the communication strategy. We'll then move to agenda item 5 on developing activities for the 5-year rolling plan. I would like to recall that as agreed at XCOM 5 and as indicated in the annotated agenda, the XCOM held a facilitated workshop on Monday and Tuesday this week to further work on activities for the rolling plan. This work was informed by a mapping of proposed activities by parties and observers. We have substantively advanced our work. However, we need a bit more time to complete our task. And as you may have seen in the schedule of work, we will continue this work in a closed setting this afternoon to advance our work. And also, we might have a closed setting at the later part of the afternoon tomorrow. This means for observer colleagues that the working day will be finished on both days, today and tomorrow, by the afternoon coffee break at 4 o'clock. My co-chair and I will explain a bit in more detail how we plan to proceed on this important work with the support of observers when the item will be launched this afternoon. The last item to be launched today will be agenda item 4 on recommendations on slow onset events. There also the coordinators of the group of champions will be asked to present intersessional work on the proposed way forward. I'd like to Arvin.
Thanks, Thomas. I think based on the agenda, you would recognize that we had a little slip and we missed something, so I'll just address that here. I'm going to ask you to turn to agenda item 10, any other matters, because there is a matter here that we need to look at because it will be taken up as we deal with agenda item 6. So if you turn to agenda item 10, any other matters, recall that the XCOM, during the course of its intersessional work, exchange views on issues related to the engagement with the IPCC. So as co-chairs, we have invited interested parties to prepare some preliminary thoughts for discussion at this XCOM. And in so doing, we got two members to volunteer, Don and Gottfried, to undertake some intercessional work in this respect. So we'll also recall at this point that both Don and Gottfried have circulated a paper to the members, and this is what will be used as a basis for the discussion at this meeting. And for our observers and others, just to be reminded that the document is also available online. I'd also want to draw attention that under Agenda Item 6C, COP23 formal engagements, there are two meetings where IPCC and XCOM will be participating. These are the Special IPCC SUBSTA Joint Working Group and the meeting between the SUBSTA Chair and the Earth Observation Community. So we want to propose that the discussion regarding the engagement with IPCC be taken up under Agenda Item 6C. Is this acceptable to members? Seeing no objection, we will move along in that respect. I also want to realize that all other issues, if any, indicated by members, and of which I recall none were taken up, that we will address these on an ongoing basis based on the changes made to the work program for the next 2 days. And with that, I will now take us into the plan for tomorrow. So this is the order that we are proposing. Agenda item 3B on the Task Force on Displacement, where we will hear a brief report from the coordinator of the task force, followed by item 8 on the date of the meetings in 2018, and item 7 on the report of the XCOM in the morning. So members have received a calendar document to provide their absolute blackout dates for two blocks of period, and we're asking you to send your inputs to the secretariat by the end of business day on Thursday. And at this point, I'm reminding the members that we are asking for actual dates. We have reserved the late part of tomorrow morning for observers to provide general feedback on the draft 5-year work plan. So in this general feedback slot, the XCOM would like to hear from observers about the ways in which each and every observer organization can contribute to an impactful work plan. Now, I'm sure you'd recognize that there are parties and observers that have been following this process for some time that may not be here. And some of you have been following this process before this sitting XCOM and would know what the practice was. We intend to more or less follow the same protocol in terms of making the document available to observers that are here and observers that are not, and afford an opportunity for feedback. So along these lines, we want to recognize that we do value the observers' views on those areas or actions where the XCOM has one, a special value added as the leading body for the loss and damage, and two, what could be done more effectively by collaborating with other expert entities. And three, where the XCOM could be a catalyst for meaningful work by other organizations. So we will listen attentively, members, and take feedback into account while we finalize the work plan later tomorrow. So we're talking about general feedback in that respect. Agenda item 3A on the clearinghouse will take up the first afternoon slot tomorrow. Members will be invited to provide feedback on the current version of the clearinghouse for risk transfer, and we're asking you to have a look at the current version which is available, and I believe the clearinghouse website details is on the screen, And I'm asking you to take a look at that during the course of today to prepare for tomorrow. One of the partners will be on site to register members and interested observers in the Clearinghouse Interactive Space over the lunch break tomorrow. So we're asking you to make yourself available, register, so that you can participate in the live interaction on the Clearinghouse in the afternoon session. So for those of you who are interested, please take note in that regard. In the same slot tomorrow afternoon, we will also take up agenda item 6B to discuss the launch of the Clearinghouse at COP23. And per our usual practice, Friday will be reserved for a decision-making day on any outstanding items. So, in respect of time permits, as you may have already noticed, there are some posters displayed in the area in front of the plenary room. We are encouraging you to have a look, especially the poster on the linkages of technical work on loss and damage and the SDGs. And, you know, do that while you can, moving through the various sessions or during the various breaks that we may have, as much as you possibly can. And in this regard now, we will now move on to, I believe, we're now moving on to agenda item 6.
Let's move now to agenda item 6 on awareness raising, outreach, and sharing of information. And let's start with the first sub-item on the side event on financial tools and instruments to address the risk of slow onset events. I would like to recall that at XCOM 5, we agreed to hold a side event at COP23 in the context of Action Area 7, Activity E, of our initial two-year work plan. And we requested an intersessional working group and the secretariat to make arrangements for this side event. The group of champions was coordinated with by AMA and Gottfried, Idi, Malcolm, and Pepe were members of this group of champions. The document XCOM 2017-6-4 contains background information and arrangements for the side event, as well as an accompanying awareness campaign. I would like to invite the Secretariat to briefly update members on the arrangements for this side event.
Thank you, Thomas, and good morning to you all. Please recall that the members at the last meeting, XCOM 5, agreed on the objectives of the side event as follows. One, to raise awareness and understanding of financial instruments and tools that address the risks of loss and damage associated with the adverse effects of climate change. Two, put a spotlight on some of the gaps, challenges, and risks associated with the financial instruments and tools, and these gaps and challenges to be identified from the annual forum of the Standing Committee on Finance, which took place last year on the same topic. The third, highlight innovative financial instruments and tools outside the realm of insurance. Based on that, the intersessional work took place, led by AMA. And let me give you an overview of the flow of the side event as developed by the working group and with the secretariat team. We are finalizing the arrangement according to this flow. So the side event is for 90 minutes. It will take place on Thursday, 9th November, during the lunchtime slot, 1:15 to 2:45. We have engaged a dynamic facilitator to moderate the event. For those of you who had participated in the TEMA event in Bonn session that took place in May, you may recall a very dynamic facilitator, Musunda. She will be facilitating this this event for us. The event will start with the brief introduction by the EXCOM, followed by panel discussions on the following two topics. One, features of financial instruments and approaches to support scaling up efforts to address risks of loss and damage associated with loss and events. Two, the features of collaboration and partnership to support efforts to address risks of loss and damage associated with slow onset events. Therefore, it's in two parts. First part is about the features of financial tools and instruments. The second part is about features of collaboration and partners, potential collaboration and partnership schemes to support such effort. As you may recall, in the last side event the EXCOM organized, which was about on non-economic losses, the side event was preceded by an awareness-raising photo campaign. We are planning to do the similar photo campaign in this session as well. You see some of the pictures from the campaign taken. So we'll be doing the similar things for Monday through Thursday on the first week in Bonn Zone. The collection of photos taken during the campaign will be showcased at the side event. This photo campaign will be also be conducted through social media, so we'll be able to get the inputs, information, participation by those who are not on site at the conference, but from all over the world. So what's left for EXCOM to decide at this meeting is on the speaking role for the opening remarks or introduction at the side event, who can actually be in person to participate in this event from on behalf of this committee. With this, I conclude my update.
Thank you, Miwo. So I would like to open the floor. Is there any EXCOM members that would like to volunteer to take this speaking role at the side event? Anyone from the organizing committee maybe would be interested to volunteer? Russell, yeah.
Yes, I'm not from the organizing committee, so I'm not volunteering. It's just a question. So the photo booth will be at the Bonn Zone, which is the other area, because I keep getting confused. Is the actual event going to be at the Bonn Zone or in the Buller Zone?
Mio.
Thank you for the question, Russell. We don't know the exact room venue yet. It's most likely in Bonn Zone, but it's to be confirmed.
And I understand it's quite easy to move from the negotiation zone to the Bonn Zone. It's not too, I mean, it takes 10 minutes. So So it doesn't seem that there is any volunteer at that time of the day. Emma?
I'm not volunteering myself. I honestly can't speak. Meanwhile, just to understand again, speaking on behalf of the ESCOM, that means introducing the ESCOM. That's, you can do it.
Please. I have a 24 minutes.
I mean, I don't think it's a too difficult role. It's just like speaking 5-10 minutes, introducing the context of the side event, and showing a bit our collective work. So it would be important that someone volunteers. Krishna?
Thank you, co-chair. Thank you, and congratulations, Thomas. We are very glad to see you there. Good morning, colleagues, dear observers. Have we decided who are the panelists on this side event? Or what is the progress? Just an update required. Thank you.
Yes, Secretariat.
Thank you for the question. We're contacting potential speakers at the moment, and the range of speakers of the types, organization, or the experts from which we were requested to draw from had already been endorsed by the group of champions during the intersessional period.
Hello.
Thank you, Thomas. Good morning, members and also observers. Congratulations, Thomas, for this new job. I think this is going to be a formal sitting to present what we have done with regard to NELS. So my proposal will be having MC should be from member of championship, and the speech should be from one of the coaches, because this is a formal sitting, I think. But I'm not volunteer for this.
Armin.
Thank you, my fellow co-chair. Members, let me remind you, the co-chairs at this point do have quite a number of engagements that you've already indicated that we are the ones that are going to be tasked with that responsibility. We have some of these sessions, including those that we identified as COP23 engagements. We need to spread the load around. I don't believe it's fair to ask myself and Thomas to shoulder all the speaking responsibility on behalf of the XCOM. We're 20 members deep, and I think asking two members to carry the load is a little bit too much. I'm kindly, on behalf of my co-chair, begging you as members for someone to volunteer and kindly assist us in delivering on something that we are putting forward. Thanks.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to support what my co-chair just said. What I would suggest, because maybe some people need a bit more time to reflect, and I understand that it's a bit difficult to take a decision now. We'll come back to this item a bit later. Malcolm.
Yeah, just a point. Oh, I'm buzzing. Point of clarification. Whether, if somebody's a member here is going to present the XCOM and what we do, what they say, in terms of notes for what they say, will that be produced by the secretariat, or is the person supposed to do that and clear that through the XCOM and the co-chairs themselves? Because that makes a big difference.
I mean, it's up to us, it's up to the group of champions to decide how we can approach it, but there will be, of course, support, I presume, from the secretariat, at least for the introductory part when we are like introducing what is the work of the XCOM during the event. Cornelia.
Thank you, Thomas, and good morning, colleagues, and also good morning to observers in this room. First of all, I'm not volunteering, just to make this clear. I was just wondering, not all XCOM members are here. Some might come later today, some might come tomorrow. Maybe there's an option that those colleagues might volunteer.
Ready.
Thank you, and congratulations, Thomas. Good morning, everyone. I'm likely to consider that if I get to understand exactly what is expected from the member, one. Secondly, and also being able to work with a group of champions who have been able to compile the information. So I'm open to a conversation with the team. Thank you.
I mean, thanks, Vali. It's very well appreciated. I can confirm that we can work with you, also with a group of champions, to provide a bit more about the context of the side event. We can even try to start this work during the meeting, during the next 2 days. We can sit together and look at the context. So thanks a lot for this. So let me maybe conclude this agenda item. We all took note of the progress that has been made. There will be a bit further work to finalize the organization of the side event. Vali kindly agreed to speak during the side event, and we will continue working on it and provide you with any kind of support that might be needed to prepare for your intervention. Thanks a lot, and I hand over to my co-chair.
Thank you, Thomas, and I'd also want to thank Vali for volunteering. And I believe before we move forward, I think I saw a hand from one of our observers, so we'll take that quick intervention.
Thank you. Good morning. Climate Action Network forwarded some suggestions to the organisers for speakers for the side event. I guess I wanted to speak a little earlier and demonstrate enthusiasm for speaking at the side event. I was on that list. I'm very happy to speak at the side event. Myself and a co-author released a paper earlier this year on financing loss and damage, including for slow onset events. Our list also included a list of other authors who had co-authored papers, and we're very happy to re-forward that to the organisers of the side event. I'm unaware of anyone on that list having been contacted, but.
So noted, we will take it under consideration with a group of champions in and the secretariat in finalizing. Sven?
Yeah, thank you very much, very shortly. And additional comment here that I think it would also be very valuable if in the design of the event it could be taken into account to also look into sources of funding for loss damage which could strengthen the impact of the different instruments discussed, sources which could generate additional funding like innovative and new sources, taxes for the fuel subsidy reform and others. I note that these are also mentioned as part of the discussion in the SCF forum report, and this touches upon a different issue. I just wanted to remind us that this is captured in the forum report. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that, and I'm sure in the final details, the group of champions will consider that input. Thank you. At this point, we will turn to sub-item C. Looking at the formal engagements, if any, by the EXCOM at COP23. So under this item, we would like to coordinate the EXCOM's formal engagements at COP23 and decide which members will represent the EXCOM. So again, members, there are plenty of opportunities for you to step forward and talk highly about the work that we're doing and showcase that catalytic action. So as co-chairs, we are aware of three occasions on which the EXCOM will be invited along with other constituted bodies. The first of these, the annual meeting between the GCF board and the UNFCCC thematic bodies. The first meeting took place at COP22 in Marrakesh, where our previous co-chair, Shireen, represented the EXCOM. The second meeting is a meeting between the substitute chair and the Earth Observation Community. The EXCOM was represented by myself in the last meeting, which took place during SB 46, and was also supported by Krishna in that regard. The IPCC SUBSTA Joint Working Group meeting is the third meeting of which we are aware. This annual meeting takes place in the margins of every COP, and the meeting is chaired by the chair of the SUBSTA and the IPCC. Some preliminary information that we have at this point is among the participants from the IPCC side, there will be the IPCC Executive Committee and high-level representatives from the IPCC Secretariat. This meeting is tentatively planned to take place on Friday the 10th of November between 8 to 10 with an extra hour between 10 to 11 for any additional in-depth discussions. So, as mentioned in the opening remarks, my co-chair and I would like the EXCOM to consider participation to this meeting in conjunction with the issues related to EXCOM's engagement with the IPCC, which has been raised under agenda item 10, any other matters. At this point, we'll open the floor for views on EXCOM's participation to these meetings and volunteers as necessary. So the floor is open for members to feel free to all jump in and volunteer on behalf of the EXCOM. Don.
And thanks and good morning to everyone. Good morning to members and friends, observers. Just to go straight into it, I think it would be, given that Godfrey and I were working on the IPCC discussion paper that we've circulated, I can't speak for Godfrey, but I am willing to be the EXCOM member at the SUBSTA IPCC Joint Working Group, the annual event that's mentioned. So yes, I'm volunteering for that one. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Dawn. That's good news. Russell.
I forgot to say good morning before to everybody. It feels like it's still last night. The Substa Chair and the Earth, what that one you went to last? Yeah, what's that about?
All right, so that's an informal meeting convened by the Substa Chair. It's essentially a nexus of the various bodies looking at where work may overlap, where we might be tasked with or responsible for taking on initiatives or be the body that should be the lead in a particular aspect. So it's also an area where you'll get feedback from other bodies, particularly in regard to the work under the Substa. Are you volunteering, Russell?
I mean, yeah, I don't want to take it away from you. So, I mean, if you're happy not to do it this year, then I'm happy to do that one.
I am always happy to share the load around the XCOM, Russell. So I'm going to take it that we have Russell down for that meeting. What I would say in regard and based on our experience, that meeting is a very well attended meeting. There are a lot of stakeholders at that table, and in that respect, I think that was one of the reasons the last meeting that myself and Krishna participated in that respect. So there were at least two of us there. So what I would say is Russell has volunteered, but if there are other members that would wish to support him at that meeting, please feel free to do so. Thanks.
Just to add, I think it would be good to have two people for each meeting because, we don't know when it is. So if it happens to conflict with sudden responsibilities I may have, then, you know, it's good to have two people, I guess, down for going. So.
Yes, it's always good to have backup support. So again, I implore on the members that where they see the possibility to offer support, to so identify it so that we can ensure that the necessary arrangements are in place. Adel?
Thank you, sir. I think I'll be helping Russell and also Don to do so because previously I represented other bodies for this meeting. So I will be happy to help this.
Thank you, Adao. So far for the meeting with the Substa Chair and the Earth Observation Committee, I have Russell and Adao. For the IPCC Substa Joint Working Group meeting, I have Dawn. Malcolm?
Yeah, I'm happy to do the IPCC one. Subject to not being having to be in the negotiation room, of course.
Thank you, Malcolm. Krishna?
If I'll appear in the COP23, yes. But I'm not sure.
Which meeting?
If I'm around, yes. But I'm not sure. That's which the case. Otherwise, I'll be happy to volunteer.
Which one?
IPCC one. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I mean, we're finally getting warmed up, it seems. With respect to the annual meeting between the GCF board and the UNFCCC thematic bodies, is there anyone that would wish to volunteer? Edie?
To repeat again.
The annual meeting between the GCF board and the UNFCCC thematic bodies. Amma? Thank you, Amma. And in support at this time, both co-chairs will also volunteer. So, Russell? So thank you, members. Finally, we have warmed up and we have gotten a healthy dose of volunteerism among us. I trust it will continue for other activities and intercessional work going forward. Just to remind what we have in terms of volunteers so far, the co-chairs and Amma for the annual meeting between the GCF board and the UNFCCC thematic bodies, Russell and Adao for the meeting between the Substa Chair and the Earth Observation Community, Don Malcolm Krishna for the IPCC Substa Joint Working Group meeting. At this point, I'm going to invite the Secretariat to give us an indication of exact dates, if available. Thanks.
Thank you, Orville. So the Substa IPCC Joint Working Group will take place on the 9th of November from 8 to 11. In the morning, the Substa Chairs meeting with the Earth Observation Committee community will take place on 10th November from 8 to 10 in the morning. The annual meeting with the GCF board, the exact date is not available yet, but it will take place during the first week during the lunchtime slot. Thank you.
Thank you very much, members, and thanks to Secretariat for the added input. I'd also want to remind that Dawn and Godfrey had volunteered to put together some initial thoughts and start the discussion on formal engagements at COP23. So at this time, I'm going to invite Dawn to share the intercessional work that has been done to date, and I believe this is in respect of the IPCC. Dawn?
Thanks, Co-Chair. As indicated earlier, this has been circulated to members and is also available on the website. Just as a reminder to everyone that you will recall that at COP22, we had a decision that recommended that the XCOM improve access to and interaction with relevant scientific technical panels, bodies, and expertise, including by inviting relevant organizations to all levels and scientific research organizations with expertise in science relevant to loss and damage. So based on that, we had this discussion at the last XCOM as to how we could potentially interact and liaise with the IPCC. You would note that all three functions of the WIM provide opportunities or scope for allowing for scientific analysis and information to be to filter into the work of the WIM of the XCOM. So you would also note that the Working Group 2, or those of you who may not be aware, Working Group 2 of the fifth assessment report, for the first time it employed a pervasive focus on risk. And risk captured the combination of uncertain outcomes and something of value that is at stake. So that is very relevant to us in the work that we do. So again, while the Working Group 2, where the contribution did not specifically say loss and damage, so it didn't say loss and damage per se, we of course are very familiar with the fact that we do have an Chapter 16 that speaks to that basically says the contribution does not, Chapter 16 of the contribution does not address adaptation constraints and it, of course, and limits to adaptation. So we've been speaking about limits to adaptation and hard and soft limits in reference to that Chapter 6 chapter 16 of the fifth assessment report. And of course, recently we had the outcomes of the 46th session of the IPCC. So still building on that fifth assessment report, at the 46th session that was held in Montreal earlier this year, earlier in September 2017, actually, there was agreement on the outline, on the chapter outline of the Working Group 2's contribution to the sixth assessment report. And it is scheduled for release in October 2021 at this point. The outline, again, does not refer specifically to the UNFCCC concept of loss and damage. It doesn't say it in that direct way. But the issue of residual risk will be considered throughout the chapter outline. And you would note in your discussion paper that if you have a look at the various aspects of the various chapters from chapter 1 right down to chapter 17, there are many direct references, and I will just call out a few examples to give you an idea. So examples like it speaks to current and future residual impacts, chapter 1 that is. So chapter 1 is on point of departure and key concepts. So it speaks to current and future residual impacts. It speaks to irreversible loss. It speaks to economic and non-economic losses caused by slow onsets and extreme events. It speaks to limits to adaptation. So you will note that although it does not specifically say loss and damage, all of these terms are very much about loss and damage based on what the work we've been doing so far. And even you will notice from the paper that you have, we have outlined where the other references are made. In chapters 7, chapters 8, on the section 2 on regions, many different references from limits to adaptation, etc. Specifically, for example, chapter 17 speaks to a section on costs and non-monetized costs as well. So having given that background, based on the outline of that fifth assessment report that has been agreed upon, we thought that there were opportunities for liaising with the IPCC. And noting that two have been raised by the co-chair as well as the secretariat, and just to remind you, there is the Substar IPCC Joint Working Group annual event at every COP that a few of us just volunteered to do. And there's, of course, the Substar Chair's meeting with the Earth Observer Community, which is the informal meeting that our esteemed co-chair participated in May this year. So there are already those two. But we also know that there's opportunity for future collaboration between the XCOM and the co-chairs of the IPCC Working Group or other members of the IPCC Bureau as appropriate. And we could also consider inviting the appropriate individuals who are entitled to speak for the IPCC in line with the IPCC's communication strategy. So the IPCC has a communication strategy, and we could actually ask persons who are well-versed on that to be able to speak with us on that as well. And they're responsible for the implementation of the scientific work program of the IPCC. So that's another possibility. And, of course, we may want to consider inviting the IPCC representatives as early as XCOM 7 to build on that momentum or SB 48 sessional meetings in 2018. It's really up to members. But you do have the paper before you, and if it'll be easier to zoom into the component that says the way forward, you'll have a reference point for the discussion. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dawn, for the intervention, and also to yourself and Gottfried for volunteering to start this discussion. I believe significant progress has been made in this respect. So at this point, I would want to open the floor to the members for interventions or expressions of interest as necessary. Krishna.
Thank you, Co-Chair. Thank you, Don, for that excellent briefing on the progress that IPCC is slowly, gradually, reluctantly coming closer to loss and damage. If I recall the last meeting when Co-Chair, myself, and some of our colleagues from observer groups were participating, And there was also similar kind of reluctancy, although we put forward very strongly why not IPCC considered in one of its chapter dedicated to loss and damage. And the explanation was that they have cited several chapters, something around loss and damage elements were embedded with. However, there was no consensus to have a separate chapter on loss and damage. Even the very recent meeting, there has been some progress. Still, there is no separate chapter. What was your observation, Don, behind this reluctancy, when all the elements and components are, you know, tried to be addressed and incorporated in several chapters, but not bringing loss and damage in the picture as per se? Your observation, please. That will guide us to strategize ourselves while participating in the next meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Krishna. I'll ask Don to respond, and following that, I'll open the floor for Erling's intervention. Don?
Thanks, Co-Chair. Krishna, I'm not sure that I'm an expert on this, but I will note that the IPCC is still very much a negotiation. It's a scientific body, but it's still based on negotiations, very much like the UNFCCC. The reality is that it's supposed to be very scientific. Unfortunately, it does get very political. That is the reality. So it would be very difficult, in my mind, to imagine that the full wood loss and damage, maybe it is coming, would appear. But I must say that when I see terms like economic and non-economic losses, or especially non-economic losses, and slow onset and extreme events, and limits to adaptation, and irreversible losses, and specifically costs and non-monetized costs, I think it is going very much in that direction. But it's the politics, perhaps, that prevents it from being said specifically. But the attempt is being made, and it is much advanced compared to where it used to be.
Thank you very much, Don. Erling?
First of all, thanks to Don and Godfrey for producing a very interesting and good document for discussion for the XCOM. Don is mentioning that it looks like the IPCC is going more into negotiations than to real scientific research, and I don't think that is a good way. I think it is the most important thing now is to follow the IPCC scoping decision, and let the scientists use the time for producing knowledge and science. And I think it's really important for all the bodies under the convention to protect IPCC independence and impartiality. There will be plenty of opportunities for XCOM to come with inputs to the draft reports when they are published. I have nothing against the interaction with IPCC on dissemination of relevant findings. So I think that the document as it is now and the way forward is fine. But I think, again, let the scientists, first of all, do research and not appear in all and every meeting. So the communication plan for IPCC is fine, so let's follow that. I think the way forward, as suggested in the document, is fine, and the interaction we have. But there will be plenty of opportunities to both comment findings and comment reports when they are due.
Thank you, Erling. Before I take Antonio, just to clarify your comment in respect of participating or not participating in meetings. I'm not certain I heard you correctly. You'd made a reference to not participating in meetings. Are you saying the XCOM? I wasn't clear with respect to the comment on many meetings and not...
No, I say... IPCC has a communication plan, and the way forward asked them to come to present for XCOM. As far as I understand, that's one of the suggestions in the way forward, that we will invite IPCC to come here. And I'm a bit cautious that, you know, that we are putting burden on IPCC to come to meetings, any meetings at all. So let's be cautious. So let them produce research and not go to meetings.
Noted. Antonio?
Thanks, Orville. Congratulations to our new co-chair here. Regarding the way forward on this issue of the IPCC, besides the outline that was already approved for the sixth assessment report, we have three special reports that are critical for the work of the XCOM, of the WIM. And let me walk you through some of the outlines of these three special reports that address on the same manner that has been mentioned by Don, even though not specifically addressing loss and damage, but taking into account this language that is adopted by the IPCC regarding our concerns here in the XCOM. And the special report on climate change and the oceans and the cryosphere, you have chapter one on the sixth bullet of the outline. You have implications of climate-related ocean and cryosphere change for resource natural systems, human systems, psychological, social, political, cultural, and economic aspect, and vulnerability assessments, adaptation, limits, and risks. You have also in chapter three, polar regions, adaptation options, management, and limits to adaptation. At the end of the fourth bullet, you also have in chapter four, in the last bullet of chapter four, that address sea level rise and implications for low-lying islands, costs and communities, pathways to resilience and sustainable development, adaptation measures and limits, safety margins, barriers and enables. In the special report on 1.5 degrees, you have on chapter 3, bullet 4, adaptation potential and limits. Also in chapter 4, strengthening the global response to the threat of climate change, you have exposure and vulnerability, and known adaptation potential and limits. On the special report on climate change, desertification, land degradation, etc., you have also in chapter one, in the first bullet, key concepts and definitions, including vulnerability assessment, adaptation limits, and residual risks, and so on. You have another three chapters addressing adaptation limits and residual risks. So it's critically for the XCOM to be close to the release of this report next October. I think next year will be released the 1.5, and by September 2019 will be released the two other special reports. So we will need to really take into account and take it this in our way forward. How do we take into account in our work and for communication purposes also or the results, the outcomes of this special report. Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair.
Thank you, Antonio. Malcolm?
Thank you very much. I think that it's really interesting to see how the IPCC is now moving ahead on looking at some issues relevant to loss and damage. And I think that when we interact with UNFCCC, clearly in terms of the interest that we will get out of it, is going to be much more after some of the reports have been published, or not, or released, if you like. And so in terms of special discussions with the XCOM, it would seem to me to be, it would be interesting once those reports are released, if there are things that we would wish to discuss with some of the authors, because then we would be able to talk to the authors because it's already been put out. That might be very interesting. Other than that, I think we could probably join in the sort of the normal dialogue that the IPCC has, you know, with the UNFCCC and things like that. But I'd be interested, you know, once the report's out, I think is when we get the substantive interest.
Thanks, Malcolm. I note a few hands round the back from our observers, but I'm going to just ask if you could just allow the members to give their interventions, and then, time permitting, we can take those inputs. Russell?
Thanks, Kutair. So I wanted to, I guess, make a couple of points. One is that the as much as we may not like it, loss and damage has become a political term, and therefore I think we need to be very careful about you know, encouraging parties not to try to make the IPCC talk about loss and damage. I think it's great that they're talking about some of the issues in a more practical way and using the real language of that issue and not just putting it under loss and damage, because, you know, as much as we, as it could have been a normal term in some cases, it's now a political term. And we should do our best not to add to the politicisation of IPCC. So I think, you know, in some ways, it's probably actually our role to encourage parties not to try to politicise the IPCC, but actually to help them continue to use the real words, the real issues that we're trying to raise and that we want the IPCC to tell us. The other issue with that, I think, is that we need to be very careful about how we engage with the IPCC. So important for us to engage, to understand what they're doing, to be able to be part of that conversation. I think very important to be for us not to be very clearly not trying to influence them or trying to task them. I think that's where we again start to get into some trouble. So being very clear about what's our relationship with the IPCC to maintain that credibility that they have. I also think, therefore, that when we're thinking about how we might engage with them, making sure that we are talking to people who have, I think, has been noted in the paper, being appropriately chosen to talk on behalf of IPCC, that we're not just engaging with sort of individual scientists. I think it's important to make sure that it's sort of they're helping us with our work, that they're giving us information to help us make our decisions better and to feed into our work, and that we're not seen to be trying to influence their work, if that makes that sense. Lastly, so therefore, I mean, we were out working on the work plan. I think maybe tonight when we're working on the next iteration, we could look at the inputs part of our work plan and see where we might specifically think about IPCC as being a particular input that we might want to look for as just a way of sort of connecting this idea through to our work plan in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Russell. Dawn?
Thanks, Co-Chair. Just hearing the discussion around, and just to add to probably help members in making the decision, I do know that many, even just from listening to some of the discussions that we've had with, for example, reaching out in the sessions we had with the IOM on migration, and other sessions that we've had, and of course having personally been an attendee and participant at IPCC meetings myself, I people seem to, of course, genuinely not understand what we mean by loss and damage in this UNFCCC process. And recognizing, of course, the point that has been made by Russell, that it's perhaps even more important to use the terms that people understand in the science as opposed to using the terms we necessarily have in UNFCCC. And this is why, of course, seeing such terms included here speaks very much to the work that we're already doing. So I think that lack of awareness of what we mean by loss and damage in this process, and yet we need that genuine understanding by the scientific community in order to help us with our work based on the mandate of COP23 that we incorporate science into our work, noting that there is that need. So therefore, I think, and I also want to refer, I didn't say that when I was going through the briefing, because I thought you would have seen it on your own, but you know that we included the principles governing the IPCC work in there. And one of the principles that's worth reading is neutral with respect to policy, although, of course, they may need to objectively deal with scientific, technical and socioeconomic factors relevant to the application of particular policies. So that's right there on, if you look at it on the role, on page 4 of the IPCC principle. So we understand that. And therefore, it's largely about, it's not about influencing science. It's recognizing that the process has become political. That's a reality. It has become political from those of us who participate in it, recognize that. But it's not about influencing science. It's about framing, and it's about a genuine attempt at technical dialogue beyond the politics. That's what we want to try to get at. And therefore, one input in terms of the informal exchange that can be considered is perhaps simply explaining and presenting our work streams so that the IPCC can gain a better understanding of the policies that the XCOM is dealing with. At least if we are able to do that, we provide clarity, and it helps to inform the process and whatever they as experts think that they want to take up based on that. So it's about framing and an attempt to take the dialogue beyond the politics. Just want to make that clear. Thanks.
Thank you, Don. Malcolm?
Yeah, just a point of clarification to Dawn. When she's talking about seeking clarification and presenting clarification, who exactly are you thinking of talking to? Because it wasn't clear to me.
Thank you, Malcolm. Dawn?
I would ask you to refer to page 3, Way Forward.
Yeah.
And okay, it says that collaboration could be done between the XCOM and the co-chairs of the IPCC, and persons like Gottfried helped very much in this section, being also very much involved in the IPCC. So, and we double-check the information and the guidelines, and it's basically there's opportunity between the XCOM and the co-chairs of the IPCC of Working Group 2 and also the IPCC Bureau. So there are those avenues, and recognizing also that, as Erlin mentioned, that they do have an IPCC communication strategy, so there would be persons involved in the communication strategy of the IPCC. That may be another opportunity there as well. And, of course, we know of the opportunities that already are available, like the two that were mentioned earlier on by the co-chair. So, yeah.
Thank you, Don. Are there any further interventions from members? Malcolm?
I must say I agree with Russell. I'm nervous about interacting with the IPCC chair while the production of those papers is underway. I think it is a fact, and perhaps an unfortunate one, that loss and damage has become a political term. It is not a scientific term. And I very much think it is critical that the IPCC acts on scientific and factual basis. A form of words has been found in some of those terms of reference which has ideas of loss and damage in terms of residual impact, of something that the scientific people and the IPCC are happy to go ahead with. And I think that if we went back to the Bureau and reintroduced the term loss and damage, I think we would be guilty of trying to politicize, playing that into those political sort of views, which I think could be construed as unhelpful.
Thank you. Meredith?
Thank you, Co-Chair. Just a couple, I guess, points of clarification and questions. So for the IPCC SUPSTA Joint Working Group meeting that's on November 9th or 10th, the annual meeting, who is it that will be represented from the IPCC? That's one question, because it seems like that's why this annual event exists, for this sort of reason. And then my other question is, or maybe it's a comment, so on the way forward, thank you, Don, for pointing out that sentence on collaboration. So for the co-chairs of IPCC Working Group 2, one of them is Deborah Roberts from South Africa, and as she has previously co-chaired this issue at the negotiations, I think she's already very well aware of loss and damage and the technical issues that we work on. Thank you.
Thank you. Before I give the floor to Amma, I'll just remind the membership. With regard to the IPCC SUPSTA Joint Working Group meeting, among the participants from the IPCC side, there will be the IPCC Executive Committee and high-level representatives from the IPCC Secretariat. Amma.
Thank you, Chair. I personally do not see the difficulty with us meeting with IPCC, because according to the decision for CP22, the first para is saying we should improve access and interaction with relevant scientific panels, bodies, expertise, etc. Unless I'm misunderstanding what the discussion going on, I have no objection to us meeting with IPCC at any time. And I think we should make it an effort to do it, to be able to address, to respond to decision 4 to for CP22.
Thank you, Amma. Are there any... Vali?
Thank you, Coche. And thank you for this discussion with regard to meeting with the IPCC. I think it's important that we have this meeting with the IPCC, basically because there's so much that we have been putting into our work that we can also share and learn from the IPCC. So it's important that we also understand what their scope of work has been, and then obviously that will also help us to share the views in terms of where we need to take this work forward. When it comes to the nitty-gritties around the politics of IPCC, I think that's a subject that we cannot be entertaining from our side, because our relations with IPCC is about their support that they're going to do with regard to the scientific work, the factual work, and also the reports that we are requesting them to work on. That will help and assist our work in terms of taking it to the next level and also for decision-making processes. Thank you.
Thank you, Vali. Cornelia? Giving the floor to Antonio. You've decided who's going? Cornelia?
I just have decided ladies first. Sorry, Antonio. No, it's my subtle Austrian way. Sorry for that. I just wanted to come back on the way forward. I mean, first of all, I do agree with people on the ExCOP who are kind of feeling nervous about proactive engagement with them when also trying to explain or anything. So I'm not going to repeat that. I just want to kind of raise my voice that I'm concerned myself. But what I do like is that on the way forward of in Dawn's paper, well, first of all, thank you, Dawn and Gottfried, for preparing this paper. It's really helpful. On the way forward, there's one option that we can invite IPCC representatives to come to the XCOM and report on whatever we decide they should report on. But what I was wondering is, like, XCOM 7 is in half a year's time. So we know that the 1.5 degrees report will be out something like in October. So I was wondering whether we should kind of wait until this report is out and then invite them so that they can come and kind of present us the findings of this report. So I'm just throwing out this idea. Thank you.
Thank you, Cornelia. Antonio?
Thanks, Orville. Regarding this issue of loss and damage and the influence or possible influence to the IPCC, and that we must be very careful on not doing so, etc., let me tell you that they are scientists, which doesn't mean that they are naive. If there are some people that are really aware of these discussions, are they, much more than we are. So let's not be so, what I mean. I've been there for 3 to 4 meetings within the IPCC, and they are the most, they really understand the issue. Scientifically, they understand us much more than we think. So let's not be so worried. Right. Thank you.
Thank you, Antonio. Russell.
Thanks, Antonio. Just in response, I mean, we're Australian, we don't worry, but we, I guess it's not about the issue, because of course they know about the issue and stuff. It's more about our official position and theirs. That's where I think we just need to be conscious and careful about. But as parties or as individuals, of course these conversations happen all the time, and we shouldn't worry about that. We're part of that dialogue, but it's more in the official capacity of the XCOM. Vis-a-vis the IPCC, that I think is important to maintain that credibility line. That's the difference, I guess.
Thank you, Russell. Meredith.
It's just an addition, really. In the paper that Don and Gottfried pulled together, there's actually a link to the IPCC communication strategy, very helpfully. And on the first page of that link, that website, there's the goals, the two main communication goals of the IPCC, and it's to communicate its assessment findings and methodologies and to explain the way the IPCC works. So, frankly, I think anything outside of that, unless it's the IPCC, whichever representatives are appropriate, coming and presenting findings from AR5 would be inappropriate. Anything in advance of AR6, which would be outside of these two, unless it's explaining the way the IPCC works, which as representatives from parties and countries, we have IPCC representatives from our countries, and we should just be working with them outside of this process. Thank you.
Thank you, colleagues. Seeing no further indication for the floor, I take it that the membership has exhausted this issue. I'm going to open this to observer Dawn.
Sorry, Co-Chair. I just want to come back on the point made by Cornelia about the possibility of, you'd mentioned the October 1.5 paper coming out and then having the IPCC come to present to us at that point in time. Is that a suggestion on the findings? So, two possibilities based on what Meredith said, which was that they have a mandate that they could present on findings and they could present on their work, their procedures, on findings. It could also be, one, the IPCC 1.5 that Cornelia referenced as an example, which would take us maybe to, not immediately, unfortunately, but it would take us to perhaps XCOM 9, which is a little bit far away. And then the other one was
the fact that this outline has just come out, it might be an opportunity to present that outline to us as and to help us in fulfilling our mandate. Because we do have a mandate on COP22 in terms of a COP22 mandate in terms of interacting with scientific bodies, etc. I would really like to fulfill that mandate. And I think one of the ways to do that is to interact with the IPCC. And from my understanding, there are opportunities and ways to be able to do that. And if it is that we can, one, present in a very unbiased way our work streams, that's one. And two, get a presentation from them in the first instance on that the outline for AR6. That is a nice way to marry the two without stepping on any procedural toes. Thanks.
Thank you, Dawn. Can I safely take it that the members have now exhausted their interventions? Okay. Seeing no further indication, I'm going to open it now to our friends, observers, for quick targeted inputs. I believe the first person is Julian. No? No longer? I thought I saw your hand up. If not...
Believe it or not, I have nothing to say.
Okay.
But no, thank you.
No problem. Sven, and followed by University of Colorado.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, some of it, of course, has come up in discussion, but when I read this reference document, I was really surprised and didn't understand why the special reports are not mentioned, as they are, of course, one of the most concrete opportunities in the next years. The 1.5 report was mentioned, the ocean report, and also the land-related report, I think that's up in 2020, so that should definitely be on the radar, and I think there will be a lot of relevant information from that. The second point, I don't want to come in on the conversation whether to meet with IPCC or not. I would have fewer concerns on that. But I think what I would expect also from the Secretariat, IPCC Secretariat, is that, I mean, there is a lot of literature out there working with the term of loss and damage. And it's not only negotiation-related literature. And I would expect the reports to reflect that language, even if it's not necessarily specifically addressed in the outline. But when authors of the IPCC make use of these reports, then they, of course, need to work with that. Whether this needs to be communicated to the secretariat, to the IPCC Secretariat in discussing communication strategies, I don't have an opinion on that. But it's something which, of course, people who are engaged as expert reviewers, and I'm one of those, need to have an eye on. So just to make clear, there's a lot of loss and damage related literature out there which works with the term, so I expect it will also come up in the reports. Thank you.
Thank you, Sven, for Climate Action Network, University of Colorado.
Thank you. A couple of things. The first one is that, I mean, the IPCC relies on, it doesn't do research, it does summaries of research, mostly peer-reviewed research that's already out there. So I'm not sure that your work streams are going to have that much to do with the way they put their reports together. But the role that I really see for the XCOM that's very important to the research community in general, as well as to the IPCC, is to take existing reports, to look at it, and for you to decide how those reports relate to your work streams, and to identify gaps in the IPCC reports and the literature in general, because the research community is always looking for new areas in which to do research, and you can do scientists a real favor by identifying topics that are not well covered at this point and suggest topics for people to work on in the future. The Ringos would love to get information about that and to pass it on to our research community for them to pass on to their colleagues back home. So that's the first point. The second one is that the IPCC has been really good about sending people to come meet with the Ringos, and they typically send their executive director, their assistant executive director, and I think someone from the communications staff. We talked to them several times about possibly helping them communicate what they were doing and to make it more accessible to general audiences. And they thought that was great, but we were on our own to do it. They weren't going to work with us on that, that they just don't have the resources to do that. And they thought it'd be terrific if we took what they did and communicated it within our own interests. And you can do that too. I think they would be happy to come and talk with you about their results. But then it's up to this group to decide how they can be used. And my colleague Lindsay would love to make a comment as well.
Thank you, University of Colorado. Quakers.
Thank you. And also, sorry to be late this morning, Lindsay from the Quaker UN office. I just wanted to say we're also observers of the IPCC, and I was there in Montreal. We also invite the IPCC to our events to share research findings, but also to hear what the wider community sees on research gaps which could affect progress in climate change efforts. And while I hear concern over politicization of the IPCC, I think it would be a missed opportunity if their final reports did not include research that is most beneficial to UNFCCC work. I think there is a way to have them come and give a presentation to talk about what they have, but also for them to hear your questions and to hear your concerns over research gaps so that their ongoing and future reports can best benefit potential research and policy. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Quakers. College of Atlantic.
Thank you. Yeah, I have been engaged with the IPCC in a number of roles. I was one of the members of the scoping on the special report on land, external reviewer. I was at the recent plenary meeting in Montreal. So speaking as someone who, I mean, I consider myself part of the IPCC as an expert, as somebody who writes scientific literature that the IPCC then takes and digests. And I guess one thing that I would say is don't be afraid of the IPCC. We take scientific literature that's already out there, but I mean, what's really helpful, I think, for the scientific community as and reflecting on what Marilyn and Lindsay have just said, it's really important for that dialogue in order to be able to identify research gaps, in order to be able to identify what is the scientific information that's missing. And I think that's a really useful role that the XCOM could play in terms of catalyzing further scientific research that then is policy relevant. And the IPCC takes a lot of pains to make sure that the work that they're doing is not policy prescriptive, right? They do quite a lot of work to make sure that it's as an objective, a summary of the literature as possible. But they are really, really interested in being policy relevant. And how can you be, and that also I think is a really important role of the XCOM, is to help the IPCC be policy relevant. And then one further point in respect to what Dawn has been saying about the framing. I mean, the IPCC is really, I think it's too late to get involved once a report is out. Because what the IPCC must do when they release a report, and whether it's the special report on 1.5 next year or the special reports or AR6 in a number of years, is that in the lead up to the release of that report, they have to figure out what to say and what not to say. They have to figure out how to frame that information for the public, what's important to pull out of those reports and what's important to say. And so I think it's actually a really important role that a dialogue with the XCOM could play in helping the IPCC think through what's important that's coming out of that report and what's not, and how to actually pitch it as they develop their communication strategy. So I think it's important to get it, to have that conversation before the release, not after the release.
Thank you very much, College of Atlantic. Seeing no other. Grenada.
Okay, thank you very much. Good morning, colleagues. I think in terms of the IPCC, that the XCOM really could play two roles. I think there's a strategic role for the XCOM in ensuring that loss and damage remains at the forefront of the IPCC agenda as a general topic which they take seriously. And I raise that because while I'm hearing people complimenting the inclusion of loss and damage concepts in the outline for the AR6, I think the people who were there would confirm that that was really a compromise result which came from a lot of very hard negotiating and lobbying by the small island states. It was not a voluntary or welcome addition to the AR6. It was something which they had to put in because of insistence and advocacy. And the concerns about politicizing the IPCC, the reality is that the IPCC plenaries are political events where particular parties try to either advance or block concepts that they do not see in their interest. So I think that as WIM, we first of all need to keep at the forefront the whole question of loss and damage needs to be considered as a general point. And therefore, whatever opportunities we could get to do that, I think we need to do. At the same time, I do not think we need to be confrontational in any way or overly aggressive. And I'm thinking of the APA. If you don't recall how the APA is approaching the global stocktake, of which the IPCC has a critical role to play, the APA's approach has been to invite the IPCC to discuss how they can assist the global stocktake. And that's how the conversation has evolved, with the IPCC coming and saying, okay, look, the global stocktake is trying to do A, B, and C, and therefore we can produce information X, Y, and Z. I'm thinking that in light of decision 4CP22, which has mandated the WIM to place loss and damage on a scientific footing, working with the best available science, I don't see any contradiction in the WIM inviting the IPCC to a discussion on how the IPCC can assist the WIM in ensuring that loss and damage is being done considering the best available science. So you're inviting them to take this on board as a theme and as a principle of the work based on decision 4CP22. And that kind of approach is not something which is trying to put them in a spot, it's trying to tell them what they should be doing or what gaps should be done, but essentially to forcing them to reflect back on 4CP22 and strategically begin to realize that, look, loss and damage is something which has to become a central theme of our work. And if you have that kind of dialogue, then whatever agreements come out of it, you can subsequently follow up with, if it's annual meetings or periodic meetings or so on, with the IPCC as the various reports are coming up. So I would suggest you try to look at that bigger picture of how you put it on the agenda, because they will not put it on the agenda voluntarily. And I think that the decision at Marrakesh gives you a perfect opportunity to raise that, given that they are the scientific body of the convention. Thank you.
Thank you, Grenada. Okay. 30 seconds, not seeing any hands going up. Once, twice. Sold. Okay. Members and friends, thanks for that significant discussion. The inputs raised have been quite a lot. I'm going to try my best to see how I can summarize an agreed way forward, or at least something that the membership can consider and make a decision on. So what I'm gathering is that the engagement with the IPCC is important, particularly from the perspective of what we have obtained in 4CP22. The question realize around how that engagement is going to take place and on what basis. What's the baseline for which that engagement goes forward? I would want to suggest that there are links based on this discussion that we're having here with what would be the next item on the agenda, which is sub-item D, the communication strategy. What this seems to suggest to me is that we need to look in that communication strategy as to how do we deal with engagements, timing of engagements, and any terms of reference that will be required for those individual engagements going forward. I don't know what the appetite is within the membership, but it may therefore mean that we might need, on an ad hoc basis, a group of champions to deal with these specific engagements going forward in relation to what communication strategy is finalized. So that is what is seemingly for me right now coming out of the discussions as a way forward in terms of actions that we need to think about and come up to some agreement on. I would humbly propose if you could give me 2 minutes just to discuss with my co-chair, and we would, based on that outline, propose a consolidated way forward for you to consider. So I'm asking for 2 minutes. Now we're going to get to that. Okay, thank you, colleagues. We will be going to break in about 5 or so minutes. What we have proposed... Just collecting gloves. Okay, what we are proposing as the way forward... Because sub-item D refers to communication strategy, which is looking at XCOM's outreach and communication, we believe that the discussions that we were just advancing lies squarely within that framework. We will suggest that the group of champions who have been working on that issue can probably take that on board as one of the activities that need to be outlined in that communication along with that communication strategy, and also put on the table that from the perspective of engagement, we can consider that we have actually started the engagement with the IPCC from the SB sessions already when we met with SUBSAS, and based on the agreement going forward from this agenda item, we have already also made note that we will be participating in at least 2 meetings that will involve the IPCC namely the meeting between the SUBSTA chair and the Earth Observation Community and the IPCC SUBSTA Joint Working Group Committee. So our meeting, so we can look at what we will be putting forward from that communication strategy in terms of inputs or interventions, rather, with respect to those meetings. So we will take that up in the next session, but we're putting that on the table in terms of how we intend to go about dealing with this issue and any similar issue going forward. So based on this long discussion, we will take a break at this point and come back on sub-item D, communications strategy. If there are no objections, seeing none, we will move forward on that basis, and you can now take that well-deserved break. Thank you. Until 12, yes. So much? Yeah, 20 minutes. 20 minutes.
In this group, Malcolm has something to report. Frank did something.
Okay.
But he was even not part of the group. But okay. Malcolm.
Okay, okay.
It's a bit strange.
I think he came into the group after the Frank. Probably. The probably. Okay.
I mean, I can do it if you... We're doing this part?
Yeah. You take that one.
If you guys, you know, think it's best, we could actually allocate time for that, right? After common strategy, which is probably just 10 minutes, right? Yeah.